This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now again, if you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can re-listen to this program on my website. You can read my weekly meditation on my website. And there's other information on my website that you might find helpful. So if you would like to contact me by regular mail or if you would like the website address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write them down at the close of the program. Today we are going to be looking again at Luke chapter 19. We have looked at the story having to do with Zacchaeus and how that he was a man who really wanted to meet the Lord. And so he met the Lord up in a sycamore tree. The Lord came by his way and he met him. And the summary of that story was that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Zacchaeus was lost. Salvation came to his house, and now he is found. And we saw that that story is very clearly a story that gives us instruction as to how we too can be a lost one that is saved. Now today I want to continue on in Luke 19. The next verse says, "Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Now, I want to read the rest of this parable next time and deal with the parable in its totality, but there are some points I want to make with regard to the introduction to this parable. Now you'll notice it says he spoke another parable. Now we know that parables were spiritual stories with practical meanings, but sometimes the people who heard the parable didn't understand them, and the Lord seemed to use them in such a way that those who wanted to know the truth could understand them, and that those whose minds were already made up and did not want to know the truth were confused by them. I don't believe that all of the parables were based on fictitious stories. I believe some of these parables, and frankly, maybe all of the parables, were based on actual historical events that had happened. And I am told that this is a case of one of the Lord's parables that is based on an actual historical event having to do with a king that went into a far country to receive a kingdom. And when he returned, he had some faithful servants who had been doing business for him till he came, and he had citizens that hated him. And so the story is a story that probably happened in reality in history. But it's a story that gives us spiritual truth with regard to some issues that we have today. And one of those issues has to do with this matter of the kingdom. When we look at John chapter 3, it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And nobody is going to enter into the kingdom of God apart from the new birth. And the new birth is the thing that happens to a person who repents and believes in the Lord Jesus. We're born of the Spirit. As many as received him, that is, who received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of man, but of God. And so it takes a spiritual birth to enter into the kingdom of God. But what does that mean? The Jews thought that the kingdom of God should appear immediately. And there are many who believe that if the Jews had accepted the Lord as the Messiah, that the kingdom of God would have appeared immediately. The Lord, when he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, offered himself as a king to the nation of Israel, but the religious rulers did not want him. They did not think that he was the man that had been predicted in the Old Testament. And it's interesting that religious leaders, the ones who knew their Bibles, the ones who were teaching the truth, their minds were made up and they did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ and his credentials as being authentic. And so they crucified him. And because they crucified him, the nation of Israel did not have the kingdom of God immediately appear. But there is a spiritual sense in which the kingdom did appear. Now, I'm a firm believer in the fact that the day is going to come when there will be a millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years when the Lord will reign. I believe that first we'll have the Christians caught away so that they are not part of the terrible judgments that are going to fall on an unbelieving world. And then I think that there's going to be a peace treaty made by Israel with the revived Roman Empire. And a man out of that revived Roman Empire is going to offer them a false peace, which they're going to take. And then during the tribulation period, he's going to turn against Israel. Or at least somebody that is in authority. It may be that person will have already been overthrown, but there will be a man of sin arise who will overthrow Israel, who will desecrate the temple, and there's going to be terrible tribulations. And at the end of those terrible tribulations, the remnant of the nation of Israel is going to confess that they crucified their Messiah, and they will say in the words of Isaiah 53, why he was wounded for our transgressions, why he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the nation of Israel will say then just exactly what a person who comes to Christ is able to say now. And the nation, as a nation, will finally admit that when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, they had crucified their Messiah. He didn't look like a king, but he was a king. And at that time, the Lord will come and will separate the sheep from the goats, the sheep being those nations and those in the nations that apparently believe that the Lord was the Christ and protected the Jews during this tribulation period, and the goats being those who in fact turned against the Jews and against the Christ. And there's going to be a separation of sinners from saints, in other words, and the Lord is going to establish his kingdom rule with the first generation being those who believe in him. Now, that kingdom is coming, but the Jews thought that kingdom should come immediately, and there's been confusion about this over the years because it's been 2,000 years, and there's nothing in this world that looks like a righteous kingdom today. Rome wasn't a righteous kingdom. We didn't have a righteous kingdom during the feudal days when men ruled over the areas of the country and had peasants as their slaves. It wasn't during the years when the rise of nationalism took place, and ultimately we had Hitler trying to establish himself. And we've looked down through the history of mankind, and there is absolutely no nation and no time when we could say that there was a righteous kingdom on this earth. And some would like to say the church represents that kingdom. But if you're going to look at the church representing that kingdom, then the church should be an undefiled entity. And yet there isn't a church on this earth, and there isn't any way you can look at the body of Christ that is called church, and you can say in that body sin is judged immediately, in that body there is no evil, the lion can lie down with the lamb in that church. No, the church is not that kingdom, even though when we are saved, we are delivered from the kingdom of darkness and we are transformed into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But that's a spiritual thing. And so there's a sense, yes, in which the true believer in the church has entered into a spiritual kingdom. And we know that Because we have a spiritual kingdom, we have a spiritual king, and one of the questions we often ask as we minister the truth with regard to those who say they are born again is, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? There is absolutely no way in which the kingdom of God has ever, in a physical way, been represented on this earth. But everyone who loves the Lord and truly tries to please him, they are in a kingdom in a spiritual sense. So we cannot see the kingdom of God immediately, but we do see the kingdom of God when we get saved spiritually. And because we exist forever, those of us who die, and even those who have died down through the years, they're going to be raised to be a part of the physical kingdom. So when he says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, you could say that everyone who is born again will see the physical kingdom in a coming day. And you can also say that everyone that is born again enters into a spiritual kingdom where the Lord is their king. But the church is not the kingdom. The church has not replaced Israel, and it does not have all the Old Testament blessings that Israel had. There is no 10 lost tribes that we hear about that have become now a super race on earth that represents the kingdom. The kingdom today is a spiritual thing, but a physical kingdom is coming. And the question is, are we part of that spiritual thing, that spiritual kingdom that we can have a part in even today? So the kingdom of God is misunderstood oftentimes today. And I think many people think that even the United States represents the kingdom on earth, but it does not. We were established on Christian principles, but we have never judged sin or acknowledge the Lord as the Messiah in the way that that will be done during the millennial reign of Christ. So the kingdom is coming, and the Lord tells us then that this king, he went into a far country, and he was going to receive a kingdom, which would be Christ going into a far country, that would be heaven, to receive a kingdom that's probably looking forward to the millennial kingdom, and then he is going to return. So one of the truths that we have to keep before us is that we who are Christians should be occupying till the Lord comes, because he is going to return, and we need to be ready for that return. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program, and we trust that thou wilt use what has been of thyself to thy glory. We commit the program to thee in our Savior's name. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.